organizational meeting of the Hudson Common Council, year 2020 is now in session. Please rise and pledge allegiance to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Alderman Corrigan.
Here.
Halleran.
Here.
Lewis.
Here.
Moranti.
Yes.
Nizan.
Yes.
Rosebach.
Here.
Sarar.
Yeah.
Trombley.
Here.
Walker.
Here.
Wolf.
Here.
President DiPietro.
Here.
Quorum present.
Has the majority, have the Democratic caucus designated a majority leader? And that is? Can I have a motion to designate Tiffany DeLiga as the majority leader? Dewan and Trisha second. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Alderman Corrigan.
Aye.
Halleran.
I don't caucus with the Dems. So
okay.
Should I don't want to vote no, but, you know, I'm staying.
Rosenthal?
Aye.
Sarar?
Aye.
Trombley?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye. The minority leader will be a member of the Working Families Party. And I believe the... Oh, sorry. I thought you were caucusing with the Working Families.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and have the three of you come up with a nominee?
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, and can I have a roll call vote, please, of the three numbers?
Can I have a question?
Not yet, please.
Okay.
Motion second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Need a motion? And a second. Shersha and Kelvin.
Alvin Lewis.
Aye.
Nizan.
Aye.
Wolf.
Aye.
Carrie.
Okay. Don, do you have a question?
I object that I was not considered as part of the nomination or part of the process. My understanding is that the minority, which would be Rebecca and I, either at a negotiation, flip a coin, or whatever, however it works, that's how the minority would be selected. I don't understand how Rebecca will caucus and went to the Dems meeting to get this vote, where I was not even invited. Absolutely true. Absolutely, unless you can show me documentation that I was invited, absolutely not, I was not invited. Absolutely not. To go to this meeting, I think it's non-transparent. I think it's collusionary that I was not even considered. Because as we learned last time, the minority is chosen by the minority on the council, not anyone in the majority. So that would be Rebecca and I sitting down, having a conversation, either doing it equitably, where one would take it one year, one would take the other year, or flip a coin. But right now, as it stands, I don't think it's equitable or fair that I was not considered the nomination. I think it's invalid how the process was done and unfair. And this council, this is how it's going to start 2020. It is not going to be a fair and equitable council if that's the way it's going to be. And for anyone to say, I was invited, is totally not telling the truth, because I wasn't invited. And if Rebecca went to a Democratic caucus, my understanding is that no one votes her majority, because how is it fair that the majority side picks the minority? Tell me how that works. How is that even equitable fair?
I don't think the majority is picking the minority. The point is the three people who are caucusing as Working Family Parties people pick their member.
But I'm still minority.
One second. Shersha.
Well, I'm in working family, me and Calvin Lewis, we both, and we both are focusing on Trevor Tower.
Thank you.
Well,
The point is that we're
Understanding. Rebecca reached out to you several times.
More important, yes, excuse me, okay. Like to, as a non-party member, to caucus with the minority party, you could do that. But otherwise, you know, that's your decision.
So, but my understanding is that
you don't caucus with any party right now. You're not a party member.
Right, but I was caucus with minority.
What minority? That is the minority party now.
So my understanding is, If you're part of the minority party, mm-hmm. there's only rules for voting for those true minority. Just because you caucus with the working families does not mean you have, there's certain rules applied to that caucus. Doesn't mean you have voting rules in that caucus.
I'm not sure I follow you, Dominic.
Because you're not part, even though you're caucus.
Jeff, do you want to address this first?
Yeah, I'm just... Way of introduction, everyone.
Sorry. This is our new attorney for the council, Jeff Baker. Welcome him.
I'm like Andy Howard, but not as good looking. Dominic, my understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, there aren't any rules in the city of Hudson governing the respective party caucuses. That would be done by the respective parties. My review of the charter and the provisions that even provide for any distinction between majority and minority leader has to do with appointments and sitting on the IDA and the HCDPA board. I would agree, since you're obviously not a Democrat, that you're in a minority party and so are the Working Families Party members. Certain members who are Democrats have chosen to identify themselves as Working Families Party Caucus, the party of the minority caucus, because it's less than a majority. You would be a member of that caucus, of the minority caucus. You are in a minority party. You're not a Democrat. So you would then meet with the other minority members and choose who the leadership's going to be. If there's any separate rules of the respective parties, I'm not aware of them. They're not embodied in any of the city's laws or resolutions. But I'm new to this job, so I can easily, you know, if you've got other documents I should look at, I'd be happy to do so. But I think that's the way to do it generally work.
Well, I'm going on the standing and precedent of, you know, last year, since I was the only minority in standing.
Well, then it was not an issue because you were, and I think that's what's happened in the past, is there have been previously there were, you know, mostly Dems or mostly Republicans, and one or two Dems and one or two Republicans. Now you had a situation, you read people elected on multiple party lines, some of whom registered working families parties or primarily considered their working families parties. It's not a city council jurisdiction, I don't believe, to determine who's in whose party. I think if, as long as the members are self-identifying in one caucus or the other, you know, and that's, you know, you will sit in that caucus for the duration until you decide to change your vote.
So, Jeff, thank you. But how would it be appropriate that then the Working Family and the Democratic caucus together and determine this vote?
Well, I don't know that that's true. I mean, that's maybe you're saying that, but all I know is the members of the council identified themselves as part of the Working Families Party caucus and identified as a minority grouping in this legislative body have so identified. It's not in the position of the rest of the council to question.
So I get excluded.
No, you're not excluded at all. I think you certainly have a right to consult and caucus with them. And I made a representation that you were in contact with. I have no.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I was not contact. I had no representation in this vote. And I just think, again, that's non-transparent, and that's starting off on a bad foot. And if this is the way the council is going to start, okay. But if we want to continue with this, that's fine.
I'll tell you what we'll do, Dominic. We'll take a recess right here, a short recess, and you can caucus with either group, and then we'll come back and they'll revote. Would you like to do that?
How's that going to change anything, Tom? The decision has already been made. It just maybe.
No, we've been before. If you're going to caucus with the Working Family Party, you can meet with the three of them and decide amongst yourselves who you want to nominate.
Well, my understanding is if the Democrats, the two, who is it, Calvin and
Shershaw,
if they're going to caucus with the Working Family, even though they're not part of the Working Family Party, there needs to be rules. And my understanding is if you're not part of that party, you don't get voting rights.
That's your understanding. That's not what I've been told.
Well,
let me just make it clear. We are not, anything we do here does not have any determination on the internal workings of the Working Families Party or how they're going to be doing something. We're just identifying the purposes of the caucus, the minority members, and allowing them to choose a leader. How their respective parties, their various political decisions made, that's all separate. That's not part of the council's business.
Eileen?
Can we at least get an understanding of how that meeting took place? Was it them? Just because it is going to set the tone, and I think the more we know, the more we can just move on, however this is going to resolve. But I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine that the majority and minority party got together without everybody and decided that, and Dominic was interested
in which
that.
Party?
Pardon?
In which party was he interested?
The same status he had as NOP, a minority, in the minority.
Right, but that was last term. So it doesn't necessarily carry over.
Yes, that's why I'm saying, yeah. What happened that way? I have the floor. I just think we need to understand how this came about. Was everybody
it
in the same
room? It came about largely because our new attorney advised us in this fashion, that we've been, that the way we did it in the past wasn't necessarily the
and okay.
That's all.
Check. But was everybody in the same room at the same meeting place?
I'm not sure who.
The Working Families Party and the Dems, the minority and the majority party.
I have no idea.
Well, somebody does. Somebody does. I wasn't there.
Yeah, I don't. Sure, sure.
Well, my thing is, there is a, in the council, has a, like, you know, Democrat, Working Family, and a NOP. So the minority is coming like a NOP and Working Family. So if Mr. Maranji and Rebecca and we are both four of them, we can talk about who is going to be a minority leader. I don't think so. It's like a whole council needs to do anything because we are four minority.
Right. Then you take a short recess and you could decide again if you want to change
it. I think that's how we can solve the problem if it is any problem.
Sure. If that's what you think that's gonna, you know, make up for last, absolutely.
Okay, let's take a very short recess. And if four of you want to meet perhaps in the back hall and discuss it, and then we'll come back.
You can bring the camera in.
You can.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. $1,000. Everybody's going to make tons of transfers for these last 2 months to make sure that they're paying what they're going to pay.
That's meeting, we will adjourn that issue till put it off until we have more advice from council. Okay, a short statement before we go on to the rules of order and the committee assignments. First of all, let me welcome our new members, Rebecca, Malachi, and Jane. I hope your experience on the council is engaging, productive.
Fun so far.
I think as a group we're poised to address, you know, the most persistent issue this city has faced, and that is ADA compliance. Which means a bunch of things. It means access to our public buildings, assistance with those who have hearing and sight issues. But most of all, it means fixing our dilapidated and sometimes dangerous sidewalks. As we all know, this is a difficult problem to solve. How do we do it without undue financial suffering, both for the city at large and for individual property owners? You might recall, we don't really have much choice in this matter. We were sued for non-compliance with the Americans with Disability Act, and we are now being monitored by the federal government. So the government demands we respond. We've already been looking at other municipalities and how they've handled this in the past session, and we will continue to do so. We're obligated to act in good faith, and there will be financial consequences for us all. All we can pledge is that we'll keep the discussion open and spread the financial pain as fairly as possible. There are other issues we can and will address immediately tonight, things that we've already started in the last session. Of course, I'm talking about short-term rental regulations, excuse me, and the status of our tourism board and its finances. In the meantime, I've given a lot of thought to the committee appointments and have decided to chair one myself. I will chair the Finance Committee. And I hope to accomplish two things. Right away, we will probably raise the parking meter fees on Warren Street. And more comprehensively, we will be looking at a citywide fee schedule, at revising the citywide fee schedule. An overwhelming part of our city's budget is predetermined by contractual obligations and unfunded mandates. That doesn't leave much for us on the council, much room for us on the council to manage your tax dollars. But we do it understanding that we're responsible stewards of your money. The temptation in the past has been to cut the low-hanging fruit, such as the youth department, which employs few protected workers and largely serves those who can't vote, our children. Our task this year is the same as always, to avoid easy solutions, risk some hard choices, and let all of Hudson citizens know that they matter. Thank you. The committee assignments are, once again, John Roosevelt will hand to the chair of the Legal Committee with Rebecca Wolf, Shirsha Mizon, and Tiffany Garino. I will be chairing the Finance Committee with John Rosenthal, Wolf, and Eileen Halloran. Malachi Walker will chair the Youth Committee with Calvin Lewis, Shirsha Mizon, and Eileen Halloran on the committee. The DPW Committee will be chaired by John Rosenthal and will include Calvin Lewis, Shirsha Mizon, and Dominic Morandi. Dominic Morandi will chair the Fire Committee with Calvin Walker, Dewan Sarawar, and Jane Trombley on that committee. Dewan will then chair the Police Committee, which always follows right after, with Rebecca Wolf, Malachi Walker, and Jane Trombley on that committee. The Housing Committee will be chaired by Tiffany Garriga, Rebecca Wolf, Shirsha Mizon, and Malachi Walker. And the Economic Development Committee will be chaired by Calvin Lewis and will include Dominic Morandi, Eileen Halloran, and Jane Trombley. And with that, let's see. Oh, you know, minutes now will be taken by a secretary. But we do want to make clear that while it's not essential that you post your agendas, it would be very helpful if, as the chair, you post your agenda, let's say, by noon of the day of your meeting. And to remember that, well, the rest is for the secretary. So, with that all done, let's have a motion and a second to adjourn. Oh, jeez, I almost forgot. The rules of order. Is that German? Asma?
Oh, I had a question about the committee assignment.
Sure.
The youth department, is the aging senior center not a part of it anymore?
Oh, I just put the short version. Yes, it's still the aging as well. I'm sorry. Copies of the rules of order are on your desks. Take your time if you haven't looked at them already. They were posted earlier. There are not too many changes. A couple that were suggested by our new council to bring us up to snuff with the actual...
What changes are
those? Let's see. The change? Yeah, you remember that? Yeah, I think I remember that.
We also were changing the little font and went back to the other one, remember?
Right.
In terms of where there were changes, there was a red line version which we didn't circulate, and I can just run through them with you. Rule number two, it previously said, or in his absence, any member named shall take the chair and the member shall be called to order. We changed that to the majority leader since it didn't have a mechanism for who is named in the absence of a chair of the president to chair meeting. Under Rule 4, the third paragraph where it says the president will appoint committee chairs and members, previously had the president change chairs and members. It was kind of unclear with the language, so we put it, the president, after consultation with any members of the committee, may change any committee chair. I'm just clarifying what I think your intent was the last time you discussed this. Rule 5 was an attempt to clarify what the original language was in there, but then I came across that you had changed Rule 5 last year. So in consultation with Tom, I would suggest you just readopt your previous language of Rule 5. I think that was fine. And in terms of votes of the council, we just made it clear that when you abstain, it is counted as a no vote. You should not abstain from. You can recuse yourself from voting if you have a conflict of interest on something, which you should do if you have a conflict of interest. And then you should be leaving the room during that consideration. But any abstention is counted as a no. And I think that's the only changes that we made.
Yes, Tiffany.
I wanted to have an understanding and be clear. I did speak with you earlier about a resolution, and your response was to go through Tom. So I wanted to have a clear understanding of why I have to go through Tom. If I have a question or if I would like to have a resolution written up by you. I know in the past, previous administrations, you know, we've been able, as chairs of committees, we've been able to reach out to the city attorney if need be, by email, phone call, or even going to his office. And prior to that, in the past, I know that there's been the chair of legal, the council president, and the majority leader that pushes the resolutions to the city attorney. So I just want to have a clear understanding of now what is the process, and do I have to go through Tom, and I should be able to just call you?
Well,
Well, just following along with the direction that Tom gave me how to do it, it's a matter of sort of managing my workflow and keeping a focus together, and that's why proposals or ideas should come to the informal meeting. And if they're going to be entertained, it's my understanding, by the council or the president, if it requires further drafting the detail of a resolution, I mean, the simple resolutions of appointing somebody to something is not a complicated thing. It's a relatively variety. There's no magic to it. But anything more complicated, that you're going to want an attorney to help draft, look at the consequences of everything. I mean, everything's complex. We always think that this is going to be simple. The lawyer can just draft it, and it's rarely that simple, because we have to always verify and check a number of laws and resolutions, regulations, and how may apply to it. We're just trying to understand through your system and giving a mechanism so it gets done orderly. I defer to you folks, however you want to handle it.
I think, with us, especially with the particularly having new members as chairs, if they have a resolution, or any one of us, should have that lines of communication open to be able to communicate with you if need be. Who's to say, if there's a disagreement between myself and Tom or any other council member, and we have to put that resolution through Tom instead of just contacting you?
Well, I think we have a mechanism in the rules where you can vote out a resolution or a law, anything out of committee, even if the president has blocked it.
Right.
So there is that mechanism.
Sure.
Two-thirds vote, I think.
Well, just moving forward, I would just like to have it in the rules of order, a clear understanding that at least the chair members of the committees, along with the council president, can contact you if we have resolutions that we would like drawn up.
Do we need to just put that in the rules? I think it's pretty clear that can happen without a rule.
Well, I would like to have some direction and protection, so I'm not getting multiple calls from everybody to be drafting things
and I'm not
being pejorative at all. But going off on somebody's wing is what something's going to be and is can be a fine idea, but isn't necessarily going anywhere. It doesn't have much support. I can't spend the time researching and drafting something like that unless there's a general consensus.
And I sympathize with you because you did say that to me on the phone earlier that you don't want to take directions or phone calls from 11 different people. And I get what you're saying, but in my position as a second ward alderman, I take phone calls and from over 1,700 people and get way less money than you.
But you have all the prestige.
What are you doing?
At least the chairs.
How have you done it in the past, or how do you want to do it? You give me the direction.
We have no issues with that.
I think that's fine. You take it from
chairs.
Because very few members will contact you personally anyway.
Do you see me, though? Okay.
I always do.
Yes.
So can we just have that
understood? Yes.
Understood in the rules of order going forward.
I guess we'll need a formal amendment that the city attorney is available to all chairs.
So that'd be rule number 16?
Sure.
Thank you.
Motion and a second. The rules of order. John and Tiffany. Could you all signify by saying aye?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion carries. And with that, I ask for a motion and a second to adjourn the organizational meeting. Dewan. Sure. And I have Can all those who are in favor of a motion for adjourning the organizational meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That motion carries. If you want to take a quick breather before we get into the regular meeting, or should we just go right to it? Okay. Got a couple of changes here. Thank you, Tracy. Linda, where's Linda? Linda? Informal meeting for January 13, 2020 is now in session. Copies of draft meeting minutes for the December 17th meeting have been provided to the council members and have also been posted on the city website. Communications include a report on planning board and zoning board training reports, pursuant to resolution number 5 of October 17, 2017. And then, of course, we have our audit report prepared by Sigler Cortia for the fiscal year 2018. Now, to the matter of resolutions. Before I start, let me just, in case I forget, there are two boards that are seeking membership, and if you can recommend or somebody in the audience would like to recommend themselves, please contact me on the city website, councilpres@cityofhudson.org. We're still seeking members for the Conservation Advisory Council, and we're also seeking members that the council appoints to the new formation of the Tourism Board. So if you want to recommend somebody or want to recommend yourself, please contact us. On to resolutions. The first resolution is appointing commissioners of deeds. I have an introduction and a second. Tiffany and Church. The next resolution is an internal transfer within the Parking Violations Bureau to cover a shortage for fiscal year 2019. Can I have an introduction and a second, unless there's discussion. Rebecca. Second? Jan. The next resolution transfers funds from the contingent budget to fund the ADA coordinator. In case you haven't heard, Michael Chimides will be the ADA coordinator, and as required by our settlement with the federal government. And during the budget process that we conducted last fall, we put aside $5,000 for this position in the contingency budget. So that's what this resolution addresses. Any questions? Can I have an introduction and a second, please? Tiffany. Yeah. Rebecca. The next resolution appoints one of the new members to the Conservation Advisory Council, David Konigsberg, who will fill the vacancy. Can I have an introduction and a second, please? Is there a question?
No.
Is there an objection? Okay, thank you. Second? The next resolution.
I'm sorry, do the introduction.
It was Jane and John. The next resolution is another transfer from the contingency budget. This was understood when we did the budget. Excuse me, it's actually less than we had budgeted for this. We had created a contingency of 2% for the police, and instead it's going to be 1.5. So it's actually less than we intended or actually set aside. Can I have an introduction and a second, please? Counselor. The next resolution authorizes the acceptance of donations to the Hudson Youth Department. We've done this before. It just allows them to accept gifts. For the upcoming year. Can I have an introduction and a second? Rebecca. Second? Calvin. The next resolution authorizes the mayor to execute a memorandum of understanding that accepts donations from the Friends of Hudson Youth. It's sort of more of the same. Can I have an introduction and a second? Jane and Calvin. This next resolution will have to go to the Finance Committee next week before the general meeting, but it is to restore to the youth budget the money that was for personnel and lifeguards. Can I have an introduction?
Can I ask a question about that? The way that it reads, said that the budget does not contain adequate funds to pay for the projected staffing needs. So, and then it's, I guess, all total about $70,000 that's being requested.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as though it's premature at this point in January. I mean, if you know your budget is a certain number, to just come in January and ask for it to be the number you wanted, I don't know that we do this year's budget process any favors. I think we should wait and see, and will the department be able to find ways to make up some of the shortfall and then come back when the time is right? I think it's an odd request in January, and just because you didn't get it in the budget. Yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else in the council? Jane?
Sorry, I just want to note that at the total of $73,000 is pushing 10% of the entire youth budget, which my understanding is $893,000. So I'm certainly new to this. This is my first round. It seems like a big increase percentage-wise.
And Tom, should it also go to the youth committee first, then the finance too? Should that also be?
No, the general fund was more important than it went to the finance committee. But it doesn't have to go to two committees. But we could do that too. But
it just gets more, in terms of explaining.
Sure.
Need and whatever.
Right. Well, Nick's here, and he can explain it tonight partly.
Sure.
The first council gets to talk about this. Well, I'll get you in a second, Nick. Did you have something you want to say about
that? I'm hoping that the number can be, that will be explained why it's that number and where that shortfall can be.
Sure. Okay, Nick.
So, I'll take a few steps back just to explain for some of the new council members who haven't been through a budget process yet, but the budgets are proposed by the department's heads in September. There's a series of budget meetings to negotiate that, and then the final number is decided in November by the BEA, which is the Common Council President, the Treasurer, and the Mayor. And this year, my proposal for the youth department budget did not include almost any increases with the exception of personnel, because personnel is the big place that the youth department needs as much help as possible as we develop a really strong staffing structure. A lot of you may not know that when I came on as the head of the department, a department which employs over 60 people in the summer, it's actually the largest department by volume of employees, didn't have a single full-time employee in it. Everybody was part-time. There was no department head. There was no director. And so we've been going through a process over the past 3 years of trying to develop that structure and trying to really build a professional, organized department. And we've had two budgets where we've actually grown, as opposed to the 8 budgets before that, which were all shrinking, in contrast to every other city budget, which had been growing for the past 12, 15 years, something like that. So this year, I proposed my budget. Almost no increases in any other department except for personnel, which is what I explained to everyone was where we really needed the help with. And a new thing happened this year where all of my personnel increases that were non-contractual that I was proposing were put into a contingency fund during the whole budget process. I was never really given a good explanation of why they were putting into a contingency fund, but when they were in there, I couldn't really see because it wasn't affecting how it came out in my budget what was going on with them. I went to every budget meeting. I think I was the only member of the public or the city government that went to every single budget meeting with the exception of the last meeting. At the last meeting, my entire contingency fund for my personnel was cut. I wasn't notified of that until over a week later, until after the budget was closed and there was nothing I could do about it. I did bring this to the council. The councilmen and women who were here last year will remember that I brought this up twice at the budget hearing and at the subsequent common council meeting. But what happened was a number was decided after the total number of my proposed budget was added up plus contractual increases that just subtracted everything non-contractual from the year before. And that didn't take into account any of our actual changes in the budget, anything. It just said, oh, this is a lump sum, we're taking it out. The end result is my working budget for 2020 for my part-time personnel, which I have to actually work with, is less than it was last year. So to answer your question, Eileen, going into this year, if I was to start to work with the budget that I have, given that the contractual increases, I can't do anything about them. I have to pay those people those amounts. I will actually, if I start to spend money and start to pay people, I'll be spending money that I really don't have, because we really don't have the funds either in the summer program or at the youth center to pay those people. And
right.
So,
and I understand what you're saying. I just think that to come to the first meeting in January and say I didn't get what I wanted out of the budget process, a lot of the departments, I'm sure, did not. And I think we need to see what happens as the year goes on. Maybe our fund balance will start to grow again. It was at the low end of what we said was tolerable by the time we finished last year. I'm just saying, I think to come in the January meeting, every department could do that because nobody puts in a budget request that they don't feel strongly about. That's where I'm coming from. I'm not saying no for the year, but my vote would be to table it and let's see what you can do within your budget or what happens to the city finances that may change the picture by the time you need the money.
I can understand that, but like I said, we actually, like, my weekly budget for what's projected for the rest of the year, I'll have to cut people starting this week if we can't get this money. And I just want to also note that the actual number of the difference between what my proposed budget was and what this is was closer to $96,000. And so I have cut a bunch of stuff out of this to try to make it a more palatable number, because I really do think that I have to get this right now so that we can actually move forward, plan for the lifeguards for the summer, plan for our staff at the youth center. The big difference, if we're going to compare to other departments, is that every other department is just all full-time employees. I mean, the DPW has a few seasonal employees. Please let me finish. The DPW has all full-time employees. Every one of them has contract, well, they have a few seasonals, but I think 95% are full-time. So their contractual increases, that's just everybody. They get it every year. They don't have to fight for increases in the budget or fight for anything. It's all there. Police, I mean, it's the same thing. They all have contractual increases, contractual everything. They don't have to do that. No other department has to work with a majority part-time staff, which we have to do. And it's a lot that we have to do. And it makes it very difficult. And every budget year, we go through the same thing because we were coming from a series of declining budgets where our staff was decimated, and we're trying to build back up, and we have to ask for money every year. And that also affects what you know is the difference between the approved budget and the adjusted budget, which never gets factored in during budget season. And so we always end up with this deficit. But that's why I said at the end of last year, I'm going to have to come back to you guys in January to do this.
I think that cripples the budgeting process. Why have the BEA go through that with the department to do it? At some point, I think we will need you to put yourself to the test and see what you can cobble together. And when the time comes when you've done all you can, hopefully fortunes will have changed and you can come back with it. I just think it's not the right thing for the January the 1st meeting.
I think cobbling together the services that we're providing for our families and our youth is the wrong way to approach those services.
Cobbling the funds, finding the funds.
I think that's what you're saying. Cobbling together with not enough money what we do, and I don't think that's the right way to approach youth services.
So from my understanding, saying you correctly, if you don't get the support that you need, a critical position that cares for our children in the city of Hudson, most importantly, you're going to have to let people go?
Correct.
From a part-time...
But you don't have to let them go.
Excuse me, when you had the floor, you had the floor, now I have the floor. So you have to leave people.
Not firing people, sorry, I don't want to... But take people, because with part-time employees, that's what you do. You say you don't have a shift this week because we're knocking a rec attendant off the staff, which also means one less rec attendant working on a given shift. I mean, that's the leeway that we have. Our full-time employees are full-time employees. We can't do anything about them. It's the rec attendants who are all part-time, with the exception of one. And we will say, okay, for the next 6 weeks, for the next however long, until we figure out what budget we have, we'll only have 5 rec attendants on instead of 6.
And these rec attendants are the ones that are taking care of the children after school?
Correct.
And how many children are there?
I mean, we have over 200 youth that are currently using the facility on a given night, somewhere between 50 and 70 right now. This is our busy season.
So for you to have to let people go because there's not enough funding, then you would have to also have to deny children from entering the building because there's not enough staff.
And in the summer, I mean, this is lifeguards. That's what we're putting in. That's lifeguards both during our program and lifeguards during the weekends and evenings. And everybody who was here last summer knows that we had a lot of weekends and a lot of evenings when there was no lifeguards on duty. We had a 4th of July this year where we had 100 people on the beach and we didn't have any lifeguards there.
Well, let me make one suggestion. Rather than use the fund balance, there is far more than this now in the contingency budget. Would you be willing to switch to take it from the contingency budget?
I don't care where it comes from at all. Yeah, that's fine with me.
So why don't we do that and bring that to the finance committee at next meeting. Yeah, so we'll table it and we'll put this resolution aside and rewrite it for the finance committee.
Is that all right with you?
That's great, yeah, absolutely.
Yes?
One question, again, for application. Sorry. Not sorry, because I don't know this. The money that you raise in donations.
We don't raise any money in donations.
The money that is raised in donations on your behalf?
By Friends of Hudson Youth.
By Friends of Hudson Youth. Is that figured into your budget?
That's for programming. And that doesn't, you don't see that in the budget.
So that's not even here. So
no.
When you say programming, what does that mean?
So that'll pay for equipment for a given program. Let's say microscopes, nets, and binoculars for our nature program and the books. That'll pay for the tent for the reading program in the summer. And that may also pay for specific employees. for a specific program. Like, they're actually stepping up to take this number down by saying, we as Friends of Hudson Youth will pay for the referees for all of the youth leagues this year. And so that's something they've done, and that knocked $8,000 off the original number that I was going to come to you all with, in addition to me cutting other items from there and trying to get this number lower. So they're directly contributing to try to help with this deficit.
Okay, but on the specific question of lifeguards and summer program, you're not figuring any money of that they might raise on your behalf to cover the shortfall.
For lifeguards, no.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the idea is to provide a stable and non-contingent, something that is not, that doesn't have to be raised.
I was just wondering.
Okay. So let's move on. We have two local laws that we're going to introduce and begin the discussion. One, of course, is to once again try to impose a moratorium while we finalize our short-term regulations. Can I have an introduction in a second?
You should add that we revised the timeline down. We'll set the 9 months to 6 months.
That's right, John. I can't hear what you said.
For the short-term moratorium?
Yeah.
That we revised the timeline.
Yes, we revised the timeline. To make it a shorter moratorium, and that will put pressure on us to get it done. Do I have an introduction in a second? Rebecca. Second? Shusha. You can start discussing this now, or you can wait till the legal committee, which is what will be discussed next. Okay. The next local law is a revision of the lodging tax law. As you may recall, the original lodging tax dedicated a percentage of the funds to the tourism board. This revision will not get rid of the tourism board. And for those who are wondering, there's upwards of $300,000 sitting in a dedicated account for the tourism board. But this will, for the future, eliminate that automatic dispersal of tax funds to the tourism board. Is that all clear? Eileen?
And Tom, where does it anticipate those funds going? Into the general
fund? Absolutely.
And there would be an accounting for it should there be something appropriate for those funds to be used for?
What do you mean, for the existing tourism?
Yeah.
Yeah, the existing board
would have
will still come to us to spend what they have.
Yep, got it.
And then after that, if they no longer have that pot of money, they can still come to us with projects and then fund it, just like any other board.
So Tom, so that $300,000 stays to the tourists right now and then
correct.
Anything?
Okay. Correct. Rebecca, did you have something? I'll get to the audience in a second. Sorry.
So this, for what length of time would this be, like, this would
forever.
Be until further notice, until, I guess what I'm asking is, if at some later date there was a decision, could there be a decision to allocate it in some other way, like make a dedicated allocated?
You could, but I don't really see why you'd want to do that. I think from a policy point of view, it's always better to just put tax revenue into the general fund and then use it as needed, But that's not off the board. I mean, that could always be proposed.
Okay.
Yes, Jane.
So for clarification, the
yes.
$300,000 stays put,
yes.
But no additional funds are put in.
Well, until this goes through.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure exactly the accounting process. I mean, I'd have to ask Heather
right.
where it stands right at a given moment when this goes in.
Right.
Because it's done quarterly, so I'm not exactly sure what the kind of process will be. It could actually end up being more than 300, or
correct. But upon resolution and the agreed date, that all the money would go into the general fund.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Since you are considering ending the law, the extension of the lodging tax law,
mm-hmm.
I have a suggestion for a further amendment that you might consider regarding the role of the tourism board, which I would like to read.
can we just...
I can submit it to you and write it.
How about this? Let us put this forward, and then we'll hear your idea.
Okay.
Is that okay? So do I have an introduction, a second, to this law? John and Tiffany. Ron,
okay.
You're on.
All right. When the Common Council did not authorize the mayor to enter into a contract with Chandler Things to promote tourism, as proposed by the Tourism Board, the reaction revealed confusion about the extent of the board's power. In extending and amending the lodging tax law, the council should therefore also consider revising section 275.41A.1D, which reads, "The Tourism Board is hereby empowered to take all reasonable steps it determines desirable, necessary, and proper to market the city of Hudson as a destination for overnight and day trip visitors by making use of the funds set aside by the city treasurer pursuant to section 275.41B.1, provided that, etc." It should be amended to make it clear that the final say on expenditures rests with the council, and that the role of the Tourism Board is to make recommendations and give advice to the council on steps desirable, necessary, and proper to market the city of Hudson. Such revised wording might be modeled on the language used in the law establishing the Conservation Advisory Council, whose role is explicitly advisory and which describes its purpose online as to provide objectively researched guidance to the Common Council and by extension to other city entities and the public on matters within its purview. The language describing the role of the Conservation Advisory Council and the law that established it is, "The Common Council of the City of Hudson recognizes and supports the need for a Conservation Advisory Council to serve as an advisory body to the council and ensure the wise use, enhancement, and protection of the city's profound natural resources and parks." Language which might describe the role of the Tourism Board could be, "The Common Council of the City of Hudson recognizes and supports the need for a Tourism Board to serve as an advisory body to the council in order to market the city of Hudson, etc."
Could you submit that to me?
Yes.
And we'll definitely put that on the agenda as a way to somehow refigure the Tourism Board. It's totally open. I hope by the next meeting we have any members ready, and we can redefine it at that time. Other old or new business from either first the council? Oh, I'm sorry. Anique, would you like to?
So I had a question.
Sure.
When you were talking about the moratorium,
mm-hmm,
on the short-term rentals,
yes.
are any of you working on the law?
Oh, yes. We've committed.
I just wanted to know what your time frame was for the actual law.
As soon as we could get it done, within reason, and make sure it's a good law rather than a rush law. So, yeah.
Well, the
moratorium is going to cover the time you're writing the law.
Yeah.
and we're hopefully we get it done before the scope of the moratorium, which is now 6 months rather than nine. That's the plan. You're interested, the legal committee will be discussing at their next legal committee, and as you know, there's a first draft online that if some changes have already been made, I'm not sure they're incorporated in that version, but if you want to go over it and see if anything that you can add to it or subtract from it, you know, we've tried to do it very openly because we know it affects a lot of people directly, indirectly. The housing crisis in general, whether this is part of it or not, is, you know, question that everybody wonders, which we won't be able to solve ourselves. But it's worth participating in this discussion because there's a lot of interest involved.
Yes.
Any other questions from the from anyone? Or yes, Maya.
Hi, I'm Youth Commissioner now of City of Hudson. I'm very honored for this to be appointed to this position, and I just would like to thank Nick for his work as youth director, for taking the safety and well-being of the youngest citizens of our community so seriously, and really wanting to provide a stable, safe, supportive, trusting environment for them through having a staff who is solidly there, who is not changing, that children can come in and know it is a good place to be, and then working from there. It is of utmost importance to children in our community who are going to be growing up and becoming the adults in our communities, like us. So thank you, Nick, and thank you, Council, hopefully for supporting him and this redevelopment of one of the very important departments in our community. So thank you.
Yes, Malachi.
How we doing? Malachi Walker. First time here. Well, just going back to the youth department, it just seems to be such a discrepancy when you talk about the youth. And I'm thinking, you know, that should be our primary focus, really. But it just seems like there's just such tension with the youth, and I just don't see why we can't, you know, do what we can to just try to support, you know, whatever's needed for the youth department. That's my first question ever. And I just want to take that into consideration. I'm just, you know, hoping that, you know, we can really be focused on, you know, the future, and the kids are definitely there.
And to your point, the youth budget this year is $613,000, and that's a big number. And I think if we're going to be able to sustain those big numbers, you know, I just think we have to be very careful about how and when and the timing.
No, I understand. I just think that there's.
Well, I would also say that Malachi's point would certainly give the youth department an undue amount of scrutiny versus some of the other departments. Now they budget and move money around within their purse.
That's why it's yearly. That's all I'm gonna say. We work with certain departments, you know, without no discrepancies at all. That, you know, their budgets are a lot higher than the youth department. So.
And the contracts are a big part of that.
Yeah.
In some ways, they can make your life easier because it's defined. We pass it as a council. But the contractual part of it for the other departments is pretty much spelled out. There's not much choice, you know, if you agree with the union about getting increases. I know it is tough. And frankly, I'll tell you that I'm always hesitant to, you know, say anything, ask about the spending, because the perception, you know, is as you are describing. And so some of my hesitancy, sometimes looking for the right words, just so it's not misunderstood that it's about the youth. You know, I'm not against youth.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. I just feel, you know what I'm saying?
Tiffany?
Yes, I totally agree with you, Malachi, and I'm happy that you are on this council and now the chairman of the youth department, and you are absolutely right with my experience. In all the times that I have been here, the youth department is always getting the end of the stick. The youth department always have to defend themselves, and it is very important that we support our children.
So sure.
I'm glad.
Yeah, well, like she's mentioning about the number of the amount, my guess is like if you think about the work and the money, how much work they are doing and how much money they're expending. If you go DPW, number is more than that, and their work is more than that. So number is not, I believe, very important. Very important is like today's our children, tomorrow might be will be one of them our representative. So we have to make them, treat them good way, and we have to give them an opportunity. Like Kamal is a mayor today, a city of Hudson. And he grew up in city of Hudson. And previously I heard from his mouth, youth department was one of the helpful way to build him up. So I believe the youth department can build a lot of Kamal.
That's
lots
right.
of representative for us. Today's children, tomorrow will be our president.
And I would just, I always like to invite us to say it's a new council. I'll invite the council and everybody else to contact me. My phone number and my email are on the city website if you want to come see what's happening at the youth department. It typically changes people's perceptions when they come and actually see the facility and see the services that are being provided there. Especially if you think that the youth department is getting more than its fair share, I'm happy to give you a tour of the youth center to show you what the condition of the building is and what's happening down there. Anytime anybody wants, I'm always available.
There's a way of, you know, you can grasp some funds from anywhere. I'm always looking to support the youth department. I mean, I haven't got my first check yet, but I'm willing to take $50 out a month and put it towards the youth department if that'll help.
We'll help you with
that. Yeah. And I'm being serious. That's just, you know.
Oh, I know. I'm gonna help
you. And she's running
you down. Well, not only that, we see the original tourism law right now puts this a light to this problem. There's $300,000 sitting in a budget right now that we can't touch that can help from like the youth department along here. Instead of the
citizens.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Oh, Kamal's not. Oh, wait, yeah. Well,
on the other side now. Depending on what you call this way.
Go on. Sure shot. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? This meeting is adjourned. If you introduce the second of the motion, please come up and sign.
This meeting is adjourned.